All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Celebration Church. It is my pleasure to be staring into a phone, and I hope that you are enjoying it. There are just a few folks here. Of course, we are trying to stay as safe as we possibly can, and we are really glad that you are joining us. If you've never been to our church before, welcome. We are glad to have you. Please feel free to send us comments and questions on the live stream. Also, you can inbox us with any questions you have, or if you're interested in learning more about the church, we would love to hear from you on that. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and we will get started. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for all of your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy is new this morning and that we are able to serve you because of your grace and because of your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying through your word, through the world that we're living in. And God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. And Lord, I also pray you would help me to speak the word of God clearly as I should. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, there are a few people here. I'm going to look at you guys that are here. That will help me out a little bit. I've been told by everyone that I sway back and forth, and I am trying not to, but I am doing it even as I'm saying I'm trying not to. So it's probably not going to happen. There's going to be lots of hand movements and swayings. So we appreciate all of the comedic comments that I'm sure people will be making on the live stream. So obviously we are in an unprecedented scenario. So we want to talk a little bit about that. We want to give encouragement. We want to give some hope from God's Word. We want to give some practical things. We'll do some church announcements towards the end. And we just appreciate everybody staying connected. God has blessed us with technology that allows us to do this, and I think that is an incredible, incredible thing. So, first thing that I want to look at, and by the way, we are normally going through the book of Genesis, which we will get back to next week. Today, we're just going to address the scenario that's at hand. The first thing that I want to talk about today is just the whole concept and idea of Celebration Church from its inception. The vision of our church has been to celebrate and to demonstrate and to joyfully embrace the reality of Jesus Christ. We live in a culture here in America, here in the Bible Belt, that has heard so much about God. He's woven into the fabric of our culture, and that can be great, and it also can be really bad. And here's how it's really bad. It creates a culture that thinks that they know God, but they don't have a personal relationship with Him. We used to say all the time, you've heard about God, but do you know Him? And the reason we would say that is we can hear all kinds of things about God and not actually know Him. And the illustration I've used a thousand times, but I'll use it again. When I'm watching National Geographic or any of those shows that depict what my favorite shows are, you know, when the lion is stalking the gazelle, it's getting ready to kill it. Of course, I always love those, and you watch and you hear the nice British voice in the background describing the hunt, and you see it's hot and it's a Sahara or it's somewhere in Africa, and as you're watching the show, you are excited and you feel like you're there, and then you turn the show off and you just move along. Well, the difference between watching the show about Africa and actually getting on an airplane and going to Africa is huge. And the difference is you feel it when you're there. When you get off of an airplane and you get into Africa and you see it and smell it and experience it, That is a completely different reality and experience than there is to just knowing about it through the National Geographic program. A lot of times I view our culture as having a National Geographic relationship with God Almighty. We know about Him. We know some Bible verses. We know Noah was on the ark. We're pretty sure a guy named Samson used the jawbone of a donkey to kill a bunch of Philistines, or at least maybe we colored a picture or something. We know about God, but we don't necessarily know Him. And in this moment that we find ourselves in, the reality of Jesus Christ, the knowing Him, the experiencing Him through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, that is what we need today and now. And I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but I do believe God is calling His people in repentance in this moment to turn their heart to Him. For some of you, it may be turning your heart back to Him. Some of you, you may have said a prayer when you're 11. You may have said a prayer when you were 15 at a camp, but you have not really been living for Him. I think this is a moment where a giant pause button on all of our lives has been pressed, and we say, Lord, we're returning our hearts to You. Other people on live stream, you may be listening and accidentally came across this. For you, I would say, turn your heart to Christ for the first time. And I want to, throughout this sermon, give you some reasons and some thoughts around that. So the vision of our church has always been, we want people to know that Jesus Christ is real. And in this moment, the reality of who Jesus is something that you should be able to tangibly know. And when I say tangibly know, practically speaking, God is speaking to us through His Word. And we believe with all of our hearts this is the inspired, infallible, theanostas, the God-breathed Word of God. This Word is given to us for living and for righteous action, and it's given to us for instruction, it's given to us for doctrine and reproof and correction. It's given to us so that we can live our lives and that we can know our Creator in a way that we would not be able to know. And the Word of God gives us a foundation in this moment that nothing else is going to give us. Self-help books are okay, but they are not going to help you deal with uncertainties and anxieties that are pandemic level. So let's get into Scripture and let's get into what God is saying. I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, and he is a tragic, heroic figure in the history of Israel. His ministry produced zero converts. Nobody listened. Everything that God said through Jeremiah came to pass because Israel was in disobedience. And in the middle of Jeremiah's book, one of the things that he gets into is the difference between trusting God and not trusting God. So let's look at what he says here in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. So let's stop right there. Let's think about what he said. Let's look at what he said. It's not good what he said. God is saying, if you put your trust in man and you put your strength or your hope into flesh, cursed are you. Well, that's a very encouraging word, right? In the middle of all of this. Well, I want us to see what God is saying. If your trust and your hope is in your job or your government or in yourself or your resources or your stockpiles of toilet paper or whatever else you may have done in panic and fear, if your trust is in what you're hearing on television, you are going to be in trouble. And this has been true not just in the moment we're in. This has always been true. This has always been true. That when we do not trust in God, but we trust in ourselves or the institutions of the world that we live in, and this is true in every culture across the globe, when we trust something other than God, we experience curse. And specifically, the curse that we experience is a shrub in the desert. This is the most horrible comparison that I could imagine, to be a shrub, not even a tree, a shrub in the desert. So you're a little shrub in the desert, and not only that, you don't see any good when it comes. You're putting your trust in yourself. That means you get what people who trust in themselves get, which is not being able to see what good God may be bringing. You are out in the desert, and you are a shrub. And not only that, you are dwelling in a parched place of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. So it's not enough that you're a shrub in the desert. You are also living in a salt wilderness, not seeing what God is doing. This is what happens when we turn our hearts, according to the text here, whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is what happens when our trust is in ourself. And this is a warning, and it's a warning whether there's a pandemic or not. Because, as we're going to talk about here at the end, God has an end point for this pandemic. God is in control. He is in charge. There is an end to this thing. And when that end comes, and there's a relief that sweeps through the world, which it will come, when that relief comes, what will we do? Will we say, great, prayers, glad I prayed them, Bible study, I'm glad I did them, live cast, I'm glad I watched them, but now I can get back to normal, and normal is putting my trust in myself and in my job and in government institutions and everything else, my ingenuity, my resources, and I am going to go back to my comfortable shrubbery in the desert filled with salt. That is not the response that we want to have. This is true now, and it's true 6 weeks from now, and it's true 6 years from now if the Lord tarries. It's true. And so take to heart the warning of trusting in yourself. And it's true now, as everybody out here is feeling the fear that you're feeling and the uncertainty that you're feeling, and it's an overwhelming feeling, you have to turn your heart back to the Lord. Look at verse 7 and 8 with me. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. So there's a contrast. Whose trust is the Lord? He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I have loved the Scripture for years because the image here, not a shrub in the desert, in the salt, in the wilderness, not trusting in God, but trusting in yourself. The difference is, now I've got a tree planted by a stream of water, and the characteristic of this tree is that it doesn't fear when heat comes. It does not fear when heat comes. And it is not anxious. Think about a tree being anxious. Have you ever considered a tree as anxious? Well, of course not. But this is talking about us. It's talking about us being like a tree that isn't anxious in the year of drought, meaning in a year where no crops are produced, in a year where water is more scarce, in a year for this culture that Jeremiah is talking to, you probably will see cattle die and sheep, and you will see them die, and you'll see a shortage of food. You'll see shortages of all kinds of things. This tree doesn't care because the roots of this tree are going down deep into a stream, and we're told that this stream is trust. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. I like the double emphasis that Jeremiah is making. You're trusting in the Lord, and your trust is the Lord. So we have faith towards God, but we also have faith in God, and He is the source of my faith. He is everything. He is all in all. And so I am saturated with Him. So in this moment that we are living in, and in this moment 6 years from now, when maybe everything is totally normal again, this verse is still true. Our trust in God, our faith in God, needs to have deep roots that go down deep into the character of God, the nature of God, the truth of God, who God is. And the simple question is, how do I get roots deep into trusting God? I was going to go to Hebrews 11. I want to encourage you to go and read that. It's called the Faith Chapter or the Hall of Faith. One of the most interesting parts in that book is the climax towards the end, where he says these people did not even receive the promises of God because they were waiting for something better. They were looking forward to something that God was going to do. And he says they were sawed in half, and they were tortured, and they lost everything, and yet they remained faithful and trusting God. And the author of Hebrews says, of whom the world was not worthy. It's just a beautiful passage that says the people of God are going to be sustained by God even in the difficulties, even in the troubles, even in the problems, even in COVID-19. God is a sustaining force in and through the faith of His people as we are trusting in Him and looking to Him and putting our roots deep into Him. How do we put our roots deep? I want you to go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Book of Psalms chapter 1. Also, one of my favorite verses. And you're going to notice immediately the parallel between Psalm chapter 1 and Jeremiah chapter 17. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You notice the parallel. The parallel is here's how you're blessed again. Not standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of scoffers or scornful people, not taking the counsel of the wicked, but instead your delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law you meditate day and night. I love that the word delight is used. I love that it's not duty, but his duty is to the law of the Lord. Even though that's true, it is our duty as Christians to be reading and studying and showing ourselves approved. It is our duty to get into the Scripture, but it is our duty to do that the same way it is our duty to eat food in order to stay alive. It is our duty to do that, to read God's Word, the same way that it's our duty to breathe oxygen. It's a delight, according to David. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Now listen to verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. It's the same image that Jeremiah uses. The image is, in Jeremiah, the man who trusts in God sends roots down deep into a stream, and that tree is not afraid or anxious of heat or drought. It continues to bear fruit. And here we get the same thing in this definition, in this psalm of how the roots go down deep is delighting in the law of God, meditating in it day and night. That is the answer to the question, how do I send my roots deep in the trusting God? I do it through His Word. Now, I have said many times that I could probably wrap up the practical application of every sermon by simply saying, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. And I'm saying that again today. But the truth is that when you feel what seems to be the rock-solid reality of uncertainty, when you are feeling it like, oh my gosh, I've never felt a feeling like this. We've never dealt with anything like this. I mean, my entire family sat on my bed yesterday and watched Governor Jim Justice talk. And we never done that before. I promise you, never in the history of the Wayne family have we ever sat and watched the governor say anything. But it's a completely unique moment. And so the reality of the moment seems to be dominated by fear and uncertainty, and everybody just trying to keep panic at bay. And what Scripture is telling me is that what I should be doing is not looking to those things, fear and uncertainty. I should be looking into the law of God. I should be looking into His Word. I should be digging deep so that I will be like a tree and not like a shrub. If you don't really remember anything I said, just remember, I don't want to be a shrub, I want to be a tree. And I want to be a tree planted by rivers of living water, and I want my roots to go deep. And the way that my roots go deep is Scripture. Just simple, easy. This is not complex, Christians. We should find our ground and our trust in Scripture, in God. Let me give you some practical stuff involving Scripture that you and I find ourselves having more time. Isn't that true? I mean, we're finding all kinds of time. We can fill up this time with Facebook scrolling, just that look that now everybody's going to have neck issues in the next 20 years, just staring down at the phone and just scrolling. We can do that. We can, you know, there's whatever you try to do to distract yourself. But what I want to recommend and what I want to say I believe that the Lord is calling us to is to come back to Him and get into His Word and read it. Here's practical suggestion number one. Read your Bible. If you were looking for a deep revelation this morning, there it is. Read your Bible. Open it up and read. I don't know where to start. Really doesn't even matter. It's His Word. I would give you suggestions. Go to the book of John, go to the book of Matthew, go to the Gospels and read those. Read the epistles, pick one. Colossians is easy, it's only four chapters. You can read all four chapters in 15 minutes or less. Read, get into the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Oh my goodness, the wisdom and the comfort. Every emotion and every experience in humanity is in the book of Psalms. It is a wonderful thing to start reading. Number two, and I want to challenge you, Celebration Church, and I'm challenging myself and my family, memorize Scripture. What's the value of memorizing it? Look at what he says again in verse 2 of Psalms 1. Psalm 1, excuse me. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. How in the world is the Word of God on your mind in meditation day and night? Because you have it memorized. Because you have it downloaded, if that's an easier image to think about. I've shared this before, and I want to share it again. Covenant School the kindergarten class is memorizing all of John chapter 1, which has 51 verses. And Mrs. Schaefer laughed and said, I didn't realize it had that many verses when we first started. But these kindergartners have been memorizing John chapter 1. We had them do like 25 verses on Christmas Eve, and everybody was impressed because they can't read it. You know, Arwen's bringing home the little See Spot Run type books, but she can't read John chapter 1. But orally, little kids can memorize stupid commercials that get stuck in your head and silly songs and everything else. That we can memorize Scripture. And here's the thing that Arwen said, and it reminded me of Psalm 1, and it blessed me tremendously when she told me, out of the blue, she said, Daddy, I am dreaming about John 1. She said, I'm dreaming it. Because when you are rolling something over and 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 over in your mind and in your heart, kind of like the way worry works, kind of the way anxiety functions, you are prone to dream about that thing. You're prone, as your mind goes into idle when you're doing something at home or at work, like washing the dishes, and you're physically busy, what does your brain do? It goes somewhere. And when your brain does that, it's just rolling on inertia. And as it rolls, it's going to roll to the most, to the least resistance area. And if you are accustomed to worry, that's where it's going to roll. And you're just going to start rolling the problems and the fears. And since we're being saturated with the problems and the fears right now, and COVID-19 and the uncertainty of it all, that's where your brain will roll. What Arwen taught us is that even when you're 5 and 6 years old, if you're memorizing Scripture, when your brain goes, when she's playing with her dolls and she's quoting John 1 under her breath, and that is really what she was doing, and then tells me she was dreaming about it, what was happening is the inertia of her mind is going off in the direction of what's most prominently in front of her mind, which is Scripture. I hope everybody can see what I'm saying, is that you and I should greatly increase in this moment and take this as a moment to say, I'm not reading the Bible so I feel like a better Christian. That's ridiculous. That is a legalism, a Pharisaical idea. It never works. It's not going to work for you now. You should be reading the Bible in the same way that you should be eating a meal. You should be memorizing Scripture in the same way that you should be drinking water. You must be eating meals and you must be drinking water. So we must, in the same way, because the Word of God is living and powerful, it's life, and blessed is the man who meditates and his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is how you become a tree that is not anxious during year of drought and continues to bear fruit. So meditate by memorization. Some of the, if you need some suggestions, Psalm 23, memorize it. Psalm 91, memorize it. Psalm 27, memorize it. Psalm 37, memorize it. Psalm 33, memorize it. Psalm 73, if I haven't said that one already, memorize it. Memorize these psalms and others. You can pick others. There's nothing special about those other than those are some that have really ministered to me over the years, especially with anxiety, especially with depression, especially with uncertainty. Go to God's Word and feast on His promises. So here's my suggestions. Read your Bible, memorize your Bible so that you can meditate, according to Psalm 1, on the Scripture day and night. And number four, talk about it. We are connected via social media in a way that is really good right now. And for all of the negativity that happens with social media, the positive is you and I need to stay connected with each other. And I just want to say at this point that our church is working on a bunch of different things to make this easier, and you're going to be hearing from us. And if anybody needs anything, contact us. Contact us through the church page. Contact us through personal Facebook pages. Contact us by phone call. If you need something, let us know. We are in this together, And we don't know. It's true. I'm not denying that we don't know what's coming. We don't know. It doesn't matter that we don't know. We're going to work together, and we're going to trust God even while we don't know. So let me finish with Matthew 28. R.C. Sproul used to say that what I'm doing right now is called Baptist air conditioning. All the Bibles turning, but there's not very many Bibles in here currently. We're not Baptist, but we're not Presbyterian either, but yeah, I thought it was funny. I want you to see some of the parting instructions of Jesus. We love all our Baptist and Presbyterian brothers. I got all kinds of friends in both of those camps, and they're all live streaming right now. And this is awesome. There are people probably coming across live streams right now that are hearing the gospel, that are hearing the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there is no salvation under heaven, and no other name can anybody be saved except through Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear what he said. I wanted to give you something practical. I wanted to give you something tangible to kind of sink into. But I want you to hear what Jesus says in Matthew 28, starting with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Just so you know exactly where we're at, Jesus has already been crucified. Jesus has already been raised from the dead in power and glory. He's already ascended to his Father in heaven. He's come back and he's appeared to his disciples. He's been with them for 40 days. And here he is at the end, ascending back into heaven until he comes back for the final time, which we don't know when that is. It could be soon. A lot of people, especially now, are talking this way. But he is coming back again. This is the parting instructions that he gives to his disciples. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew ends his book right there. I am with you always to the end of the age. I want to say something about this. Everybody has a million questions. I don't have a million answers. But what I do have is what Jesus is saying here. When he says all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, it means that all authority is in the hands of King Jesus. He is the king of the universe, not COVID-19, not tyrannical governments, not whatever else may be going on in the world. Nothing in this universe exerts any authority over Jesus Christ. He is the king. And so anything that is going on in our world is only here by the king's permission. Only. And that means that the king being in charge has an ending for this crisis we're in now. The Bible says in Isaiah that he declares the end of a thing from its beginning. God is in control. Nothing else is, including you and me. We are not in control. But what Jesus is saying here, because all authority has been given to him, because he is in charge of the universe, he does the weirdest thing in the world. I've said this before. He looks at you, crooked sticks that you are, for those of you following the Genesis series, he looks at a bunch of crooked sticks and he says, I'm going to use you to draw straight lines, my crooked, broken, messed up people. I'm going to use you to draw straight lines, and this is how the straight line is going to look. Go make disciples. baptize them, and teach them everything I've commanded you. And by the way, don't forget this, I, the King of the universe, with all authority, with all power, I am with you always to the end of the age. He is with you now. If people ask, where is God? He is with us now. You cannot let fear and skepticism, and you will see both in spades in the coming days. You will see angry people. You will see people mocking faith. You will see all of that. Have compassion. Pray for them. They are the very people that the King of the universe has commissioned us to go tell the good news, which He died for them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly are going to do what the ungodly do. Our job is not to get mad and angry and upset and finger-pointing. Our job is to say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are in charge, you are sovereign, you are king. And thank you that you are with me in the middle of something unprecedented in our lifetime, but not unprecedented in history. Plagues, warfare, famine have been the hallmark of human history. And Jesus was with the church in every one of those issues throughout history, and He's with us now. So be encouraged. He is with us. He's not leaving us. He's not going to forsake us. He's with us through this. He is the source of our hope. Dig deep into His Word. Go deep. Be a tree. If you're currently a shrub, the good news of those verses is you don't have to stay a shrub, not seeing when God does anything good. Being in a wilderness, in a parched desert salt land. You can be a tree digging deep into God's Word and trusting in Him. Now, how do we end this today? Let me say this. Just by way of what's coming in the coming weeks, in the coming months. We don't know when this will end. Jesus does. We don't. But as we go week by week, stay tuned for what our plans are in terms of our church services. Next Sunday has already been canceled. We'll be doing this again. I don't know about April. We're just going to have to see. It looks like, based on what we're seeing, that it's very possible that we'll have to cancel services in April as well, which would include Easter. A lot of what I'm realizing is we've got a lot of traditions that are even good that are almost, I don't want to say they're idolatrous, but we've got a lot of things that we put a lot of weight in, and maybe we aren't really putting our trust and our hope in Christ. We've got our trust in our systems and our schedules. And God is really shaking things up. I truly believe that. And He's shaking hearts. And He's calling us to come home and to repent and to turn our hearts to Him. And I just want to say again, if you're watching and you do not know Jesus Christ, come to Him. Give your heart to Him. Fall on Him and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe you're the King and I give you my life. Come to Jesus Christ. So we are going to make announcements and we'll be in touch and we'll be doing this through Facebook. Our intention, our plan, our hope, our prayer is that by next week we'll be live casting across multiple platforms. We'll have a church YouTube channel, which we don't currently have. We are going to try to embed it inside of the website. We're just going to work and try to figure out how it's all going to happen. So stay tuned. Also, I know there's a lot of financial uncertainty, but I also want to say we do appreciate your faithful giving, your faithful support. You can, from this Facebook live stream, you can go to the website, which is celebrationchurchwv.com, and you can go click donate. When you click donate, it takes you to Tithely. So don't be like, oh no, what's happening? That is what's supposed to happen. It'll take you to Tithely and you can give. A lot of people have asked, can we give to the storehouse? Yes, you can designate on the Tithely app, the general fund, the building fund, the storehouse fund, youth fund, ministry, all of those things. You can specifically donate. And I will say, without any shame whatsoever, we do need support to continue the church ministry. We also understand that everybody's in a wacky, crazy, uncertain time. So pray, talk to your spouse, or if you're not married, pray. Say, Lord, how do I do this? What do I do? I want to encourage you to continue to give. We are continuing the storehouse ministry, and until we would have to quit that, and that is giving out the food. That'll be this Tuesday from 11 to 2 p.m. We're doing it as a grab and go. They're not actually coming into the building. They're coming to the door and then leaving. So that's a ministry we've done now for 17 years. The community needs it now more than ever. And so we're going to continue to do that. Pray that we would have wisdom. Pray that we would have God's direction and God's understanding. And don't just pray for us. Pray for the body of Christ at large. Pray for churches. Pray for leaders. Pray for those in authority. That's what we're called and commanded to do in Scripture. So this morning, I just wanted to give you something to go home and practically do. And we said we would do some questions at the end of this. We don't have any questions? No. I must have answered them perfectly and completely during the sermon. We will also be, stay tuned, my intention is on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, we are going to try to do more of these live casts as like a devotion. My intention is to take some hymns that are popular, that we all know, and go through the hymns and the theology and the doctrine that's behind the hymns, because a lot of the hymns that we sing and love the most are hymns that were written from adversity and difficulty and pain. And so God is with us, and He's with us to the end of the age. Keep that in your heart and your mind this week. We love everybody. We're going to sign off. If you have questions or anything, send us messages through the Facebook page. God bless you.